Sometimes she would lock herself in my dad's little greenhouse and go quiet for days. She would let only me in, though I don't remember my father ever trying to get through to her. And I'd give her peanut butter and banana sandwiches that my sloppy preschool hands had made, hoping it would make her remember she had to love us. It was hot as a sauna in there, even in winter, the warmth rolling off her in angry waves. I would find her in the back by the stuff Dad called belladonna, and she would be staring out through the glass, fixated on our big yard as if imprisoned. She spoke like someone else was standing over her, and she'd say something like, "A darling little stone menagerie with the power to kill and create." Was it a fairy tale she was telling me? Was she even speaking to me at all? I never asked. I should have. Instead, I would put down the sandwich and jump to see over the table of plants and out at the little statue garden. Still in her trance and without looking away, my mother would lift me as if I were a pebble in the palm of her hand. Then I would wind my fingers in her seemingly infinite hair. "The fox is the prettiest, Mommy, the prettiest like you." She sighed and squeezed me so tight it hurt. But I didn't ask her to stop. Out in the garden, there was a pair of stone deer leaping. A stone owl mid-flight. A stone seal diving through a stone wave. A stone rabbit bolting. And yes, a stone fox. It sat amongst them, but apart from them, still and staring and quiet. The set had been a present from my grandma, my mother's mother. There was no special occasion, but a truck had backed into our yard one day with men hired to move the statues into it. I frolicked and cartwheeled that summer, feeling like it was Christmas in July. But my mother just stood there, still as a warrior waiting for the next onslaught. "Take it back," she'd scream over the phone to someone I never knew. "I don't want it anywhere near this family." My dad would try to calm her, but she'd only grow angrier. "She's telling me to just accept it, to let it happen for the greater good. I won't. I won't let them take her." "We'll find another way." I wish I'd been old enough to ask. I wish they could have trusted me with their secrets. The statues had been my grandmother's, and now they were ours. I never met my grandmother, or if I did, I don't remember what she looked like. She went far, far away before I was born. Mom never talked about her, but I could tell she thought about her often, mouth set in a hard line, barrel eyes crystallized. She stared at the statues. She hated them. And was maybe afraid of them, too. Once I climbed up onto the deer, gripping its ears or antlers and pretending I was riding it. Like we were flying through a forest being chased by whatever evil thing pursues kids and ultimately fails to catch them. I saw my mother and scrambled off. I wasn't allowed near them. I thought I was in trouble. But she only folded her arms. She had accepted something I didn't understand. And instead of disciplining me, she wondered aloud if I'd asked the deer permission to ride them. I felt suddenly guilty, as if the statues were real. I didn't say anything. But she said that if I asked for something with true and honest intention, I'd always get what I needed. Then she left me alone. I should have asked. I didn't ride the deer after that. When I looked at the statues closely, eternally jumping or flying or sprinting, I realized they were all running away from something. Except the fox. It gave off warmth. Sometimes when I sat very still, I could hear it whispering stories to me, tales of things I'd never understand. Kid stuff. Imaginary friend complex. Back in the greenhouse, my mother would stare into the dark whirlpool in her head that I couldn't see, saying nothing for a long time. But she wouldn't move from that spot, for hours, for ages. But I'd keep by her until I fell asleep. I'd wake up in my bed the next day like it was all a dream.